Understanding Grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 1:17. It was expected of God's anointed king, the Messiah, that he would deliver his people from their enemies and give knowledge of salvation by the remission of their sins. Luke 1:71-77. The means of accomplishing this task in the scriptures is called grace. Grace is the free, unmerited, undeserved favor of God toward the undeserving and the ill-deserving. It is not merely that we didn't deserve good, we actually deserved evil. And in the place of evil, God offers us good. The only explanation for this is grace. There is nothing in ourselves for which we can find any reasons for God's offer of love, mercy, and favor. It is God's own grace that causes him to do it. There are several great facts about the grace of God. First of all, it's free. It can never be earned. No one ever earns the grace of God. Romans 11:6. Secondly, it is sovereign or independent. God is entitled to do whatever he wills with his grace. He owes no one any account or explanation of his grace. The gospel really is a manifestation of his grace. Acts 20:24. The free, unmerited favor towards those who didn't deserve favor, but did deserve judgment and condemnation. Most religious people think they must do something to earn God's grace, and even worse, they think they have done something that has earned them God's grace. They are totally wrong in both respects. Most religious churchgoers think because they've sat so long in church or Sunday school that God owes them some grace. He doesn't. God will faithfully reward good. But that's not grace. Grace is on a whole different plane. We must be willing to humble ourselves and accept it without trying to be good enough to receive it. There are certain facts about grace that are clearly revealed in the New Testament. First of all, grace has only one channel. It is Jesus Christ. God offers grace to no one in any situation apart from Jesus Christ. John 1:17, 14:6. Secondly, grace is offered to only one kind of person. That is the humble. Proverbs 3:34, James 4:6, 1 Peter 5:5, Luke 18:13-14. Thirdly, there is only one means by which grace is appropriated, and that is faith. Ephesians 2:8 states, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Ephesians 2:8. Even the faith is given you by God. So you can't even boast of that. So God offers you grace only through Jesus Christ. It is offered to the humble and is appropriated only by faith. Having made a little study of the word grace, charis, we are now in a position to understand the word charisma, which is simply the word for grace, charis, with the two letters MA added on. The effect of adding on these two letters is to make a definite specific noun out of a general abstract noun. Grace is essentially what we call an abstract noun, but charisma is grace made definite, specific, and effective. It is some particular form, operation, or manifestation of the grace of God. Charis is grace, but charisma is grace made specific, made available in a certain way, in a certain form, in a certain operation. Normally, charisma is translated gift, but in two instances, it's translated free gift. Romans 5:15-17. There are 17 instances where the word charisma is used in the New Testament. One of the first places that charisma is used in the New Testament is in Romans 5:17. "For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they, which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Romans 5:17. I want to point out to you that the free gift that Paul speaks about here is righteousness. It is tremendously significant that the first actual specific form of grace mentioned in the New Testament is righteousness. Again, I find that the majority of professing Christians fail to realize that we are offered righteousness as a gift. We cannot earn it or work for it, Romans 11:6. It is offered freely as a gift through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, Romans 3:24. Any other righteousness other than Jesus Christ's is too low of a level. The only righteousness that will admit us into the kingdom of heaven is the righteousness of God, offered to us as a gift through Jesus Christ. The first thing that God does when we humble ourselves to approach Him for mercy is to make us righteous, John 14:6, 2 Corinthians 5:21. The tax collector in Luke 18:13 would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The scripture goes on to tell us that this man went to his home justified, righteous, forgiven, just as if he had never sinned, Luke 18:14. I think the majority of Christians have never grasped this fact. One thing the devil fights against as powerfully as anything else is the person that realizes that he has been made righteous as a gift. The devil will keep you by any measure he can, in some measure under guilt and condemnation, and keep you feeling very religious about it at the same time. The majority of people would feel almost embarrassed or presumptuous to call themselves righteous, because they think they have to earn it. The scripture emphasizes that it is a grace gift. You either receive it as a gift, or you just don't have it. Romans 5:17, Galatians 2:21.